I am here with Brother Steve Clark, and he is a faculty member in the religion department and will also be the devotional speaker on July 31st on the campus of BYU Idaho. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us.
Thank you. Glad to come.
And the title of your devotional talk is The Family Must Prevail, Why and How. Why did you decide to talk on this topic?
I have been teaching family classes for about 25 years since they started them here, and watching how difficult it is to pull off a family in this world. I think as I looked at all of the possible things I might talk about, I thought this is probably as important as anything I could say. If we can save the family, we've saved the world.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and what are some of those challenges that you've seen that the family has faced over the years and is facing now compared to times before?
Part of the problem that I think a lot of people don't recognize, and this idea first became clear to me, Julie B. Beck in August of 2009 talked to the religion teachers of the church, and her talk was teaching the theology of the family. And in that, she pointed out how Jesus Christ and his teachings are tied directly to the family. She went into Alma 30 and talked about Korihor, and she showed how when he convinced the people that there was no Christ, that there would be no God, the next few verses say, and the women and many of the men began to commit whoredoms, that when they lost their faith in Christ, they lost their faith in the family. Mm-hmm. And so part of what I think is going on in the world, Satan's full-out attack, he's done so incredibly well with the world against the family, you know, the abortions, the same-sex things, the whole picture of each thing that he is attacking weakens the family. Elder Holland, in a talk he gave us in 2015, he said that in the last 20 years, the median marriage age in the United States has moved from 22 to 28. And he said that isn't the church's statistic, but he said we usually follow along there fairly close. And to have people not realize that the reason we came to this earth, the reason the earth was created, is so that families could come. And Adam and Eve weren't created as a guy and then, well, gee, he's lonely, let's find something for him to do, and he doesn't seem to care enough for the animals, let's make a help me, you know. But it was all the time planned that it would be for a family. And then the fall, Adam and Eve chose to partake, Eve first and then Adam, but they chose to partake of the fruit. And then the atonement makes it so families can be together forever. So the three pillars of the doctrines all have to do with family. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think now I just got married.
Oh, wonderful.
3 months ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I think it's so, I don't know, I think compared to my mom got married when she was 19. I got married when I was 20, how old am I, 23.
Okay.
And I don't know, I think for me now, it was the idea that, I mean, I grew up with the idea that I wanted to get married, but it was kind of like, I'll get married whenever I get married and like all of that. But it was, and I think more with people my age, it's like, I want to travel, I want to work, I want to do anything. And you kind of put the family or marriage and just say, it'll happen when it'll happen, but like, I want to do other things. So I think that's one of the reasons why like, it might be moving up. And you know, it's not as a big of a, it's not as big as a priority in society today.
I think we've been distracted by so many things.
Yes.
Everything else seems bigger. When you were talking, I was remembering a former student, a really good looking, lean, tall young man. I just thought, man, he's going to have a hard time moving very far before he's married. He also happened to be a friend with some of my sons, and I happened to run into him in their shop one day. And I said, he had graduated. And I said, did you get married? And he said, no. He said, what I've decided is when the Lord wants me to get married, he'll bring her into my life and we'll move ahead. But he said, I'm not going to worry about it. And I said, how did that work for you as a missionary? Were you able to just sit in your home and wait for people to come knock on your door?
Yeah.
I said, do things like this that are really important just happen? He said, yeah, I'm taking this a little too casually. Yeah. And so I, but anyway, I think you've kind of hit it, that we don't realize the plan that Father in Heaven presented there in the pre-earth life. Many people think that the plan was just Jesus Christ, and it is so appropriate that we focus on Him and that mm-hmm. He's a big deal in our lives. But the reason that I said the why and the how, the why of mortality is to marry and have an eternal family. That's why we were sent here.
Yeah.
Exaltation is eternal families. That's what it means. But the how of mortality is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that, just as an example, you mentioned you just got married.
Yeah.
It's probably easy some days to think, gosh, why don't we just lay in bed here instead of going to church? We've had such a busy week. Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you're married and you feel like, well, this is my life now. And we don't realize that if we keep Jesus Christ as a huge focus and we keep improving our lives, then the marriage is sanctified by the Holy Ghost and all those wonderful things are moving ahead with us. And so that really helps it happen.
Absolutely. And a question that you posted on the discussion board is church or family, like which is more important? Can you explain more about that question?
Yes. I put a picture of a temple, the Provo City Temple, mm-hmm. with the scaffolding while it was under construction.
Yeah.
And I wanted them to try and visualize, is the family's purpose to strengthen the church? Because sometimes we think that, you know, well, mm-hmm. gee, if I don't fulfill my calling and do a good job in my calling, then the church won't succeed. And
and
you almost feel like the family's there to support the church. But it is an amazing thing how many of the brethren have said, oh, no, 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 no. You know, the thing that we're exalting here, the eternal thing, aren't bishops or state presidents. Those calls are temporary.
Yeah.
When someone's sealed, that is a permanent calling. If they fulfill their covenants, that's forever. And the family is the basic unit of the universe. And the purpose of the church is to provide the teachings and the opportunities for growth and the ordinances so that we can be an exalted family. But in truth, the question itself, John A. Widstow, said a really interesting thing. He said, which is more important, the church or the family? And then he said, neither. He said, they are the same thing.
Yeah.
The church is made up of the families. And so what I hoped people would think about a little bit is how important the family was and yet how crucial it is that the church functions. Just quickly, right after I got married, I was on a stake Sunday school, had a stake Sunday school calling, and so the stake Sunday school president liked to meet Sunday afternoons, and I hated leaving my family, and I would murmur, and I would say, dang stake meeting, I have to go to this meeting. And what I didn't notice is that every time I came home, I was nicer to the kids. I was nicer to my wife. I had got the spirit in that meeting, and I was being a better dad and a better husband because of the opportunity to serve in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Elder Packer talked about that.
Now, and with the why and how in your title, like what are some of the ways that we can help prevail the families?
Paragraph 7 of the proclamation is just to me a full pattern, a map.
Mm-hmm.
It starts by saying happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what he's trying to say to us there is that the more you live the gospel, the better spouse you'll be and the better parent you'll be. The next paragraph says successful marriages and families. So getting married and having a family, and then it says are established and maintained. So you start it and keep it going on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, faith, or excuse me, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activity. So that what I think people would, what I think would really bless families is if they got that posted somewhere where they were looking at it frequently, if they memorized the proclamation and they were always kind of testing themselves. I read an article about a year ago, and the article talked about that unless we're born again, that this is the tie-in of the family and the and the gospel. But he said, unless we're born again, we take our sick, troubled, tortured ways into every relationship. We deal, we cut each other off. We, you know, we do the silent treatment. We do all these other things. That's how I've got my way in the past. Yeah. And so that's what I do now. And we don't realize that to do those kinds of things to each other is so inappropriate. And his comment was, unless we're born again, until we say, hey, I can't be that way. You know, if I'm going to be a good spouse and a good parent, I've got to really live the gospel. And then it just brings us to a higher level, and it's such a blessing for our children. We save them so much heartache if we can be great examples.
No, absolutely. And again, with the family proclamation, we just posted it up. And I think it's like those moments, you don't have to read it every single day, but I think just look, we have it on top of a entertainment center where our TV is, so and we watch TV a lot, and so just like, you know, like every now and then just looking at it and, you know, seeing the title, it just reminds you. And I think it's just a reminder, like everyday reminder, that you see that you plant a seed every single time that you see.
Oh, exactly. I was just remembering President Clark when he was here. I was in several meetings where he recommended that we memorize it. And so one day my wife and I were going to Salt Lake, and I said, do you know what we're going to do on the way to Salt Lake today? And she said, I hope get there safe. And I said, that's part of it. But I said, we're going to memorize the proclamation. And she said, oh, it's too long. We can't do it. But we started out, and when we pulled into Salt Lake, I turned the recorder on my phone, and we together quoted through the whole thing, word for word. But the thing we found that was a problem is we couldn't keep the paragraphs in order. We had memorized a paragraph and then the next one and then say them together. But we kept wondering, where did they fit? So I developed a mnemonic device. And the first letter of each of the first four paragraphs say, wait, we the first presidency, all human beings in the premortal realm, and the first commandment God gave to Adam and Eve. So wait, that's the first four letters.
Yeah.
That tells you where the first four paragraphs go. Then if you take the next two words of each of the next three paragraphs, we declare husband and wife, the family. So you say that together. Wait, we declare husband and wife, the family. And that's what the proclamation is about. It's so easy to remember. And then at the end, it's we warn and we call upon and we warn. Anyway, I'm going to recommend in the devotional what President Clark recommended to us.
No, absolutely. And lastly, what is the message that you're hoping those who listen to your talk take away from it?
My big prayer is that, number one, they'll realize that the fact that they came to the earth, that they had made promises, that President Kimball told us this, that we made promises before we came here, that we would come and try to improve and perfect ourselves, that we would get married, that we would have children, that we would move ahead in this plan, that that's what we promised. And so what I hope they'll realize is this is the big deal of why we're here. But I wanted so much, and when I was putting the talk together and realizing I didn't have enough time to say everything, and my wife said, well, maybe you should just talk about one of those things, either Jesus Christ or the family. But my biggest hope was that we'd realize we came here to create an eternal family, and Christ is the only way we can pull that off. His gospel, his teachings for us to do the things as he's taught them, that is going to be what brings us exaltation. if we realize we came here to become perfected and go back and live the kind of life he lives, then all of a sudden we're saying, oh my gosh, this is such an amazing opportunity. So that's my hope.
Thank you, Brother Clark, for joining us today.
Thank you, Cynthia.